Welcome back, 12 noon. Talking about tax incentives for the movie industry, are they worth it? Should we keep doing it the way we're doing it? Or is the legislature in this month when they meet, or rather April, I think it is, are they going to change things? Are they going to keep doing it the way they're doing it? And a couple of things on it are I find confusing, so thankfully, we're going to have a Louisiana senator and we're going to have a movie representative trying to explain it all to us and hear the pros and cons on both sides. And 11 o'clock, I got a couple of emails from friends that are very pro-business, very conservative, and basically were saying, what the hell, Bobby Jindal's going to move legislation that's going to hurt Louisiana business and the industry? And they gave me several studies that suggested it was true. So we'll talk to a political scientist, talk to a former lobbyist and watchdog, legislative watchdog. This hour, something that we're not hearing a lot about, but when I do hear it, I wonder if the reports are correct, and if they are, exactly what do they mean? We're thinking about Iran. We're thinking about the nuclear talks with John Kerry and the Iranians. We have Chris Fedweiss with us, professor of political science at Tulane, specializes in international relations and U.S. foreign policy. Professor, as always, I appreciate the time.
And as always, I'm happy to do it.
I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal article, and one of the sentences in the lead paragraph says, the administration of President Obama is leaking to friendly journalists. The leaks suggest the U.S. already has given away so much that any deal on current terms will put Iran on the cusp of nuclear power status. And they go on to debate as to whether, on one hand, the administration is saying one thing through Kerry, and on the other side, leaking information that suggests otherwise. Have you seen any of this, and what are your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting situation. We don't know really what the details are of any deal that is being negotiated right now. Things are being leaked out. We don't know if it's done on purpose to friendly reporters or if somebody who's trying to scuttle the deal is leaking information out. There's a new report on CNN just now that the administration has warned Bibi Netanyahu, their Israeli prime minister, who's addressing Congress right now, not to leak details about the negotiations, because there's no faster way to screw up a deal than leak details about it. And so I don't know. From what I've heard of the deal, though, it seems – I mean, I don't understand the all the angry reaction about it. If it's true, if it can be – if we can get verification that the Iranians have agreed to not enrich uranium for 10 years – that's a pretty good outcome, if you ask me. People are upset because it doesn't involve destroying or dismantling any of their centrifuges, which enrich uranium. But 10 years, if you have inspectors in there and some kind of verifiable agreement for 10, 15, or 15 years, I've occasionally heard too, that to me seems like a pretty good deal. And there are some people who would say, look, we can't trust anything the Iranians do. Any deal they make, they're lying. Well, then those folks, the only alternative is war. And to me, that's the worst idea that we have out there now.
All right, let me take a break here. We'll come right back and steal 10, 15 minutes of your time. And if you just joined us, we're thinking about Iran. What the professor just said is what's being reported, again, through leaked sources that claim leaked sources out of the White House. The United States has conceded to Iran's demand that an agreement would last as little as a decade. Good idea, bad idea? Give us a call, WWL. Big 870 and the 105.3 FM. Number to call, 260-1870. We're thinking about America's negotiations with Iran on nuclear weapons, restricting them from getting a nuclear weapon. And a number of reports coming out that claim to be leaks from the White House, from the Obama administration, and they certainly seem to be contradicting some of what the lead negotiator, Secretary of State John Kerry, has been telling us. We have Professor Fedweiss from Tulane, specializing international relations, U.S. foreign policy. Professor, you mentioned that a lot of people feel that if there is an agreement underway that would say to Iran, we need an agreement that you won't do that for at least a decade. There are those that say, well, that's not agreeable because of their past. They point to 2013 interim nuclear agreement. Iran was testing advanced centrifuge models in violation of agreement they had already signed. And that was a report, Nonpartisan Institute for Science and Security. In December, UN Security Council noted Iran continued to purchase illicit materials for its reactor. And that's a facility, I think, in a place called Iraq. It gives Tehran a path to plutonium-based bombs. When you look at that past, why should we afford them belief of the future agreement?
Well, that's a great question, and it does get down to your general opinion about the Iranians. Are they fanatical, theological leaders, theocratic leaders who can't be trusted for any agreement they make, or are they generally, does Iran have legitimate interests and they can be dealt with? Are they irrational, suicidal types that you can't trust at all? Or are they generally just a country that is trying to pursue its interests in a pretty tough neighborhood? And you and I are old enough, Garland, to remember the 70s and 80s when we were negotiating with the Soviets. And there were the same people, the Wall Street Journal op-ed page and a lot of other neocons and those fellow travelers saying, you can't trust the Soviets at all. You can't trust anything Moscow is going to say. They're going to lie and they're not going to live up to their agreements. There's no point in talking to them because they're communist fanatics. And it turns out the Soviets lived up to their nuclear agreements pretty much largely because we put in good verification measures. If we can have a verification, and there's a Ronald Reagan's old statement. He said he trusts but verify with arms control. You trust what they're going to do, but you want everything verified. And if we have an agreement that allows inspectors throughout the Iranian nuclear system, then I think we can get a pretty good agreement that can be trusted. We can detect cheating a lot, and a lot better than we used to be able to.
And I agree with you on that. The things I wonder about, if you're truly looking for just nuclear power, and, let's just say, we don't know for sure, but let's say Saudi Arabia is one of those that's not trying to build a nuclear bomb, all right? And you would say, sure, come in and check anything. Absolutely. But I got the report in front of me. International Atomic Energy Agency reported just last week Iran's continuing to stonewall this negotiating team and the UN nuclear watchdog. On Tuesday, an exiled Iranian opposition group, the ones that revealed back in 2002 that there was an illegal enrichment site near Tehran, came out and said Iran's building another secret nuclear facility, and they gave the location. With those, it just seems to contradict if you're saying all we want is commercial nuclear power. It would seem just very simple. Okay, come on, check anything you want to check.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. They're not just looking for nuclear power. But the best way to get them to, the most efficient way to make them double down their efforts and throw all inspectors out would be the collapse of these negotiations. And when we were talking about these sort of shadowy exile groups, we have to remember their main goal is to get us to overthrow the regime in Iran. So I doubt they told us anything our intelligence services didn't already know, because they wouldn't have told the press if they were actually trying to inform people. They're trying to affect the negotiations, too, and destroy them. Netanyahu is trying to destroy the negotiations right now, talking to Congress. The alternative to negotiations is having the Iranians kick out all inspectors and go pell-mell toward nuclear weapons. And there will be the pressure will be enormous to strike them if that happens. So I think the negotiations, it's always better to be talking than not talking. So and I think the deal that I have, the details I've heard, I think are perfectly acceptable if there are verification measures built in.
And I'm reading from the Pentagon's Defense Science Board. And they say the key observables that we would all rely on are easily masked. And they point out that we're not debating, we're not negotiating on their ballistic missile program. Why do you think that's not part of it? If you want to make sure they're not making a nuclear bomb, wouldn't it be a good idea not to have the ballistic weapons?
Well, perhaps so. They already have missiles that can reach their region. And people, there's a general belief that over time, it's much more difficult to track a missile program than it is a nuclear weapons program. It's much easier to make missiles. But testing them becomes more obvious. But yeah, as of right now, negotiating away their putting their missile technology into the negotiations hasn't been done. And I think generally, missiles without nuclear weapons aren't that scary. So it's not so much the missiles that scare people; it's what they might put on them. So I think if we're going to just do sort of one step at a time, and if you're the Iranians, you're not going to negotiate away all of your potential weaponry. One step at a time, I'd say, and nuclear weapons is the only step that matters here. They can have all the missiles they want if they don't have anything to put on them.
See, Professor, I'm probably going to have to terminate this interview. I just looked at a text screen and said, your guest makes me want to go take his class at Tulane. He sounds very level-headed.
Now, yeah.
If I can't totally destroy your argument, I can't have you on this show. All right, maybe a couple more minutes. One of the things that when you make the comparison to Russia, I think that's a really good point, and my little brain scrambles to think of what would be a contradiction. And the thing that pops into my mind, as you said, we got Netanyahu right now in Congress saying what they've said over the decades, never again. And I don't think, and maybe you disagree, that they're going to let Iran get that bomb and have that hanging over their heads. If we don't negotiate something that eliminates the ballistic missiles, that guarantees them there's no work on a bomb, don't you think Israel will hit on their own?
Maybe, but I think most analysts that I trust believe that the Israelis can't do it on their own, that they don't have enough planes, they don't have enough capability to put the Iranian nuclear weapons program permanently off track. Only we do. So what Netanyahu really wants is us to do it. And we have been stubbornly refusing to do that so far. And the Israelis can really screw up the situation. And if the Israelis want to have an Iranian nuclear weapon, the best way to do it is strike them. Because then over time, they'll put nuclear weapons programs deeper into mountains. They'll make it so the Israelis can't strike them. It's always the case that Bibi Netanyahu gets wherever he is, he talks about the Holocaust and brings up how we can't let it happen again. Everybody agrees we can't let that happen again. But an Iranian nuclear weapons program is not the Holocaust. We're not talking about this is kind of getting off track a little bit, but I do not believe the Iranians would strike out at Israel right away if they got nuclear weapons, because there's little reason to believe they're suicidal, and that would be suicide. They would be destroying their centuries, millennia-old culture and history. They're a proud people. They don't. I think it's insane to think they would strike the Israelis, and I think it's worse to think, well, we can't let another Holocaust happen. This is not going to be the Holocaust. It's one step at a time here, and I think we can put them off. And a lot of things can happen in 10 years, Garland. Regimes can fall. Things can moderate. 10 years is, and then negotiations will start up again in 10 years. We might have a way to solve this problem if this deal goes through, which I'm optimistic, although fearful that it'll get scuttled.
Do you think a country like Saudi Arabia, and I think they've come out and said that they would, but I'm asking your opinion. When they look at what happened to Gaddafi when he gave up his nuclear weapon, when they look at what happened to Mubarak, if Iran is not, if we can't guarantee to Saudi Arabia, look, they don't have a bomb. We got it in the negotiation. We're watching, and we can tell if they do. Do you think a number of countries are going to go for the bomb?
I don't know. I think it's more likely that the Saudis would make the choice to go for a bomb if the Iranians got one. In fact, I've been told that they had, the Saudi diplomats have made it clear to U.S. officials that if the Iranians test a nuclear weapon, they're going to immediately start work on their own, because they are the Sunni, the leaders of the Sunnis, and the Iranians are the leader of the Shiites, and they don't want to have a Shiite bomb if there's no Sunni bomb. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. Whether we could deter Iranian action by just giving a guarantee, say that any attack on Saudi Arabia would be an attack on us, that would be probably enough to deter the Iranians. But that's one of the concerns. Would an Iranian bomb lead to a nuclear weapons proliferation cascade throughout the Middle East? I don't know, maybe, but I think we have a good chance to head it off at the pass if this deal goes through.
Well, Professor, I think when you're off this call and you have time to think about it, you're going to feel bad about not allowing me to win the debate. I mean, when I call you, it's my show. You bring common sense and rationality to it. The ratings are going to plummet.
You're right. I got to figure out a way to work some fear
in
there.
Please, next time I call, let's work on that. Professor, always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Very happy to do it, Garland. Good speaking to you.
Coming right back, we'll talk to the Liberty Foundation, COO, something called Liberty Foundation. I'll read your text at 870-870. Garland Robinette, we call it the think tank. All right, welcome back. We're thinking about Iran. We're thinking about our negotiations over nuclear power, nuclear weapons. They say they don't have them, don't want them. We think they do or they will, and we're in negotiation, been there for quite a while. And recently, at least out of Wall Street Journal, some of the conservative publications, there have been reports that the Obama administration is leaking to journalists, and the leaks contradict what John Kerry, the Secretary of State and lead negotiator with Iran, are telling us publicly. So as always, we go to the experts, better understand it. We have Matt Mayer with the COO Liberty Foundation. Matt, welcome to the show. Appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So what are your thoughts? Let me read the most recent report from Wall Street Journal. Administration leaks to friendly journalists. The leak suggests the U.S. already given away so much that any deal on current terms will put Iran on the cusp of nuclear power status. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. You know, what we know from the last 30 years is that Iran has consistently pushed for nuclear weapons and has hidden its efforts to do so. And I would be shocked if there are not current sites in Iran where they are currently doing more work that we don't know about. So the idea that somehow you can get a piece of paper and them to sign it is meaningless. If you look at North Korea, Pakistan, we had the same issues there. Iran will be no different.
I just had another expert on foreign policy, and he defended the negotiations and defended the attempts at trying to get observers that would be able to go in and verify that there was no work being done on nuclear weapons. And he said there was the same argument in the debate over Russia, that they couldn't be trusted and they would build the nuclear weapons without us knowing about it. And once they did, they would attack or they would threaten with them. What do you think? Do you see a correlation there?
You know, I don't, and here's why. Once the Soviets acquired nuclear weapons, it was a matter of bean counting, who had more, and it didn't really matter if they had 6,000 or 5,000. You know, all they needed was 200 to essentially obliterate the West. Iran has no nuclear capability, and it has regional ambitions that we know about, and it has a radical Islamic mentality that would combine two components, radicalism along with nuclear technology that would be deadly to the Middle East and the rest of the world, given Iran's history of using proxies to do terrorism work across the globe.
If you agree this is happening, what are your thoughts here? Again, Wall Street Journal says we, Wall Street Journal, would have more sympathy for Obama's desire for secrecy if the administration were not simultaneously leaking to its media while insisting that Congress should have no say over whatever agreement emerges. That'd make a lot of sense if you're trying on one side to control the issue and leaking on the other side a critique of what you're doing, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And, you know, here's the reality. If you look at the Middle East and you go from the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Africa and then all the way to essentially China's border and then from Turkey and Uzbekistan down to Somalia, that is essentially the strength of Islam. And most of those places are not radicalized, are not fundamental, are not fanatic. But in the middle of all that, you have Iran, which essentially has now pushed into Iraq through its relationship with the Shiite groups there, militants. It's pushing into Yemen. It's pushing into Lebanon, as we know, and the work that they've always been doing to try to take out the Israeli state. And so all of this effort, it comes down to Iran wants to do more, and it is really the fight between Shia and Sunni. And if Iran gets nuclear capability, it will only be a matter of time before the Saudis and their Jordanians, who are Sunni countries, will then want to have it as well because they will feel destabilized. And so, again, what we know is the history from Iran is to continue to do work even when there are observers. If you recall, when they were enriching uranium with the centrifuges at Natchez, they essentially did that and with the observers, who then they essentially closed the door, shut down the cameras so that no one knew what was going on at certain times throughout the observation process. And as Benjamin Netanyahu has said, observers can only tell you what's already occurred. They can't tell you and stop what's actually going to happen. And so the idea that we're going to, after the fact, shut something down once it's out of the bag is like getting the horse back into the barn. It just isn't a smart way for us to proceed with an entity that is known to want to get nuclear capability.
But didn't we do just that with the Stuxnet virus that we put into their centrifuges?
Yeah, well, so what that was aimed at before it was discovered was exactly to essentially speed up and slow down the centrifuges that would make the uranium enrichment process flawed. And that was done apparently by a joint Israeli-U.S. Intel groups. And if you haven't read the book Countdown to Zero Day, I would strongly recommend you do so because it is all about the Stuxnet virus and how that was developed, what it did, how it was discovered. And in that book, you get a very clear indication of Iran's intent, despite what they may sign on agreements with the U.S., what they say at the U.N., They have ambitions, and they will not stop simply because a piece of paper was agreed to with John Kerry.
All right. Let me take a break here. Stay with me. We're coming right back. Anybody, questions, comments, give us a call, 260-1870. Thinking about Iran, thinking about should we keep up these negotiations? Are we being hoodwinked? Are we continuing something that actually has a product at the end of it? Incidentally, one of our Texas causeways southbound is stopping, going one lane, 45 miles an hour. For some reason, I'm moving smoothly, and stopping quite often. Coming right back. We're thinking about our nuclear negotiations with Iran. Number of reports that purport to be out of the White House, leaked out of the White House, that suggests what we're being told by John Kerry and company about the negotiations are not correct. That in many ways, just the opposite is occurring. So we've had one expert talking to a second, trying to better understand exactly what's going on. And to do that, we have Matt Mayer with the COO of Liberty Foundation. Matt, one of the questions I wondered about, let's say that we determined they can't be trusted, they're not going to give us an agreement where our observers would have access to what we need to verify that they're not working on a bomb. And we just couldn't come anywhere near that. What would we do then?
Well, you know, I think what is clear is the sanctions process that we've put in place is really hurting Iran and the regime there. And so you know, that is why they're at the table and they're going to agree to whatever they think will alleviate those sanctions. But what we ultimately need to do is do what we've always done, which is let the sanctions work, keep pressure there, get Iraq stabilized and push back on Islamic State and what's going on there, and give the opportunity for the people of Iran to essentially kick out the folks that in 1979 came there and have held them under the thumb of theocracy ever since.
Whenever I say that we don't have any choice but to negotiate and try to get the bomb-making ability done away with, I always say the main reason is the Israelis will strike if we can't do that. And I've been told by a couple of military people, and the expert we just had on said that Israel really doesn't have that capability. They don't have the ballistic missiles, and their planes don't have the range. Your thoughts?
I would never underestimate the capability of the Israelis to essentially extinguish a threat that is an existential threat to their existence. The issue right now is they would have to fly over Iraq in order to get to Iran, and there is some news reports that the Obama administration has refused that access, so that creates a problem for Israeli planes to get into Iran. But again, you know, whether it's through cyber warfare or other types of activities, the Israelis, the Mossad, are always very, very good at what they do. So I would not underestimate their ability to essentially protect their existence.
The administration seems to believe that Iran, if their shackles are loosened and we control their nuclear weaponry trajectory, that they could be a stabilizing force in the Middle East. Do you disagree?
Well, there's no history for that, and I'm just a student of history, and I think we need to learn lessons from that. And since 1979, there's been nothing about Iran that is a stabilizing force in the Middle East. They have been using proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, to conduct war and terrorist operations against the U.S. in Iraq, in Beirut. They've been attacking the Israelis for decades. They've been exporting that terrorism into Afghanistan. So there's no history to believe that somehow getting a piece of paper put together is going to fundamentally change the character of the Iranian regime.
This, again, is a quote, Wall Street Journal, and an Arab official who said, quote, "We prefer a collapse of the process to that of a bad deal." And they told the journal last week, Saudi Arabia will make it clear, has made it clear, that might acquire nuclear capabilities in response. Would they have any leverage to say to us, you know, you're Israel's best friend, they have nuclear weapons. Now you haven't kept Iran from getting them. Now you're going to help us get them because we still have a little bit of control over oil prices.
I don't think the Saudis will need the U.S. to gain nuclear capability. There will be other folks who they have already negotiated with if they need to create a lightning quick nuclear capability, and they will. I mean, this goes to the fundamental existence of countries, whether it's the Saudi Arabians or it's the Israelis in this Sunni Shia fight within Islam, and so. You know, the Saudis will protect their existence, as will the Israelis, and they even may partner up to do so.
One final question. We didn't say we'd talk about this. I stumbled across it this morning in Bloomberg. And if you don't have any comment, I fully understand, but I found it fascinating. Quote, China's developing space technologies aimed at blocking U.S. military communications and destroying U.S. capability to win conflicts, according to a report commissioned by a panel created by the U.S. Congress their analyst working for that group said space-based information with Chinese military will become a deciding issue in future wars. In order to achieve a victory on Earth, they believe they must first see the initiative in space. Have you heard anything about this? Is that
Yeah. I mean, look, the future war is likely not a conventional ground-based war that was like World War II, Korea, Vietnam. We are seeing an increasing move to cyber warfare, and space is going to...
I think they already started the space attacks, and we lost your signal. Matt, if you can still hear me, thank you so much for giving us time. We always appreciate it, and we're going to call you again in the future. In the meantime, WWL, we're coming right back. And don't forget, if you can't catch your favorite WWL show live, even if you missed part of the show, you want to tell somebody about it, and you can listen to the podcast anytime, just like a DVR, go to WWL.com. Look for the big podcast button on the top right-hand corner of the front of our page. Or to find your favorite host, go to the link marked Shows and Schedules. Real simple and real convenient podcast on WWL.com. Next, I'll tell you again about those John Mellencamp tickets. We've got some for you. He's here in concert. A lot of people responding to that. Stand by. That and more coming up next on WWL, Big 870 AM, 105.3 FM.